This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Well, you are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast, Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson. And let me tell you, as you heard the intro music, Dave was dancing, Rob was dancing.
I was air guitaring as well.
You was air guitaring.
So I had the drums out.
Not just because they like the music, but I've got a feeling we all have in the studio that the B team are becoming the A team because Robin and Dave feel like they've had their fair share of League Cup games. They are looking at first team football. They have not only taken over this hour, they're taking over Besotted. Let me tell you, watch out. Well, it's been a quiet week in and around Griffin Park, but not for some of the Bees players and certainly not for Besotted. Brentford have had a few international call-ups, which we will look at following their weekend exploits, as well as reviewing a fascinating podcast by Besotted featuring a guest that knows a thing or two about the ins and outs of the club. We will also be looking at the upcoming fixtures. What can the Bees expect from the next three games? And furthermore, we'll be speaking to James Tippett about his cracking new book and talking all things stats, which, as I'm going to say, is very lucky because Dave here, old XG, he knows a thing or two about stats. I've got to say, Dave, I can admit it, I feel like we're in a safe place here. Yep. I've missed you, mate. It's been 2 weeks.
I've missed you too, Charlie.
Oh yes, it's a blossoming bromance, but I can go home. I can end this show.
I'll leave you guys to it.
Cheers, Robin. Yeah. Thanks, mate. If you just honestly find yourself at the break, just taking 5 minutes, and me and Dave, we can continue. We don't need football.
Keep football out of football, as we say. Yeah.
This is it. Well, the real football returns obviously this weekend. Brentford take on Reading. We'll be doing a little look at that game as well because both teams are in form. Maybe both teams didn't want that international break. But firstly, it was the international break. How are you both? Robin?
I'm never the biggest fan of international breaks. It's a time where the routine gets a little bit messed up. You're going, looking through the stats, looking through the team that you're playing, the opposition players, their form, that kind of thing. And that just all goes completely out the window. But I had a nice little international break. Went to see the Joker film. Went to Twickenham Stadium on Saturday to see Barbarians v Fiji.
Yeah.
Really, really
nice.
Good. And just want to do a little shout out as well to the best wet Lambooner in West London. Edward the Headwood, a Besotted regular, does the best Lambooner in West London. And having tried that with a few mates on Friday night, I can absolutely guarantee that.
Where was our
sorry
invite?
For making you hungry now. Yeah.
I'm absolutely starving now. That sounds really good.
Did he tell you about this on the day?
No, I've not heard of this.
It's no good 2 days later, Robin. Well, I mean, what's all this about now?
3 days. We'll get him on sometime and we'll bring him in.
Yeah, Lambooner in pocket.
Yeah, I mean, when does the eating part take? When can me and Dave? Yeah,
fantastic.
Robin,
Booner Radio.
Yeah, this is it. But Booner with Besotted. This is what I'm here for. And obviously, Dave, international football, I don't know if you're a fan. I want to ask if you're a fan, but you know, Robin said there, you know, it mixes up the routine, and there's only so much of Macedonia v Andorra I can take.
Or England v Kosovo in
that respect.
It's a weird time. I mean, I'm not overly excited by the international break. It's okay. I don't mind it. I'm not a fanatic. Like if Billy was here, he absolutely loves the international stuff. But I'm not quite as interested in that. But I think now, I guess we're getting to the stage where we're actually worried about our players coming back okay. I think before this would be a recuperation period, but now they're sort of travelling all over the world. We've got to think, can they get through unscathed? And we've got a couple playing tonight that we're hoping we can't afford to lose them at the moment. The squad's looking thin. But yeah, a little bit of an inconvenience. Good time to sort of catch your breath. Suspensions or injuries or just a little bit of recuperation time, but really it's a bit of a pain.
Yeah, let's talk about that because I feel like I've contributed to this because this will now be Robin Hood's Merry Little Roundup featuring Little Dave.
For the second time in 3 weeks. We brought it back. We didn't have time to sort a jingle though. We'll have to sort a jingle for the next time.
I'm on that. If this is like cemented first team football now, I'm going to get on a jingle for this section.
So I've got a couple of mates in music. They'll help me out.
Cheers.
I'm going to swing Robin Hood's Merry Little Roundup over to Little Dave to start off with just because he's been looking at some of the various international players we've had out over the international break.
I have, yeah. So back by popular demand, Little Dave.
That's right.
Yeah, let's get straight into it then. So Dalsgaard, he is awesome right back. He's captaining Denmark tonight, which is just incredible stuff to see.
We've now got it on as well, so we'll keep you posted
with
that.
Yeah, hopefully, I don't want to sort of give allegiance to it, but
he scores a left-footed volley from 40 yards out and we all go get screaming.
Just the 40, Robin.
But yeah, early in the week, he didn't actually get on the pitch against Gibraltar. Denmark beat Gibraltar 6-0, an absolute tonking win. He was rested on the bench. It looks like this is the important one tonight, sort of top spot, Ireland, no messing there, and they sort of want to play their best team tonight. Same with Norgaard as well. He was on the bench against Gibraltar. We were kind of hoping that he might get on for his senior debut, but he didn't quite get off the bench there, which is, I mean, he'd probably fancied himself to score. Your team's scoring six past Gibraltar. That would have been a great place to make your debut. Those are the Danish guys. You've got Kamo Mokotjo, 90 minutes for the Bafana Bafana in the African Cup of Nations qualifying. That's South Africa in normal money. They beat Sudan 1-0, which is a good win for them. They're riding high in that. Actually, I think that's one of their early wins, actually. I don't think they've been doing too well, but they've got a win under their belt now. Pontus Janssen, centre-back, he's sort of flying all over the place for Sweden. He's not getting on the pitch, though. I mean, he's involved with these setups. He's kind of just there waiting in the wings, but just can't get himself into the starting lineup, which is, it's a shame, but I guess he's getting a rest and he's not.
Well, is he, though? Because you say he's racking up the air miles. He's still doing the travelling, you know, and this can play a part, can't it, Dave?
It can do, yeah. I mean, it's just all load, isn't it? It's fatigue is when they could be sort of at home resting, maybe they're training minimally, but so he is travelling away and he's, yeah, I mean, they have to try and probably get them quite tense in case he is needed. So he's not getting that downtime, but he's not playing game minutes. So that's the only thing we can cling on to there. Zambarek, he is 18 years old, just flying like a Czech under 19s, doing really, really well. And I think as this season goes on, we might need him to sort of keep us afloat until January, sort of on the wide positions or central as well. He's had a really eventful week, scored in a 3-3 draw, his first goal for the Czech under 19s against Holland, which is awesome. And they played Mexico as well in a 2-1 win. So really good week for Zambarek over in international stuff. Julien Janvier, he is turning into a bit of a hothead, but keeping it cool for Guinea. They beat Namibia 2-0, which is really good for them. Janvier sort of called him a hothead. He's got himself into a little bit of a spot of bother in the last few weeks. He's actually going to be suspended for 3 games. He's, it's something. He was a little bit wild in a couple of these games recently.
The thing is, I saw the highlights back. So basically, just contextually, in the dying embers of the game against away the 3-0 win away at Wigan, he was involved in a bit of a fracas where he got sent off. The cameras don't really show why or how. No one was at the game seems to know why. So it's a disappointing way to lose a player for 3 games. And yeah, but thankfully, what's good about that is that he's actually got some minutes away on international duty as well, which is always good. See, because if they're not going to be playing for us in the immediate weekend following the international break, it's good that they've actually got away and got some minutes elsewhere.
Yeah, keeping it ticking over. But yeah, we're going to be without him for a while, which is going to be really frustrating. So it's time for Pinnock to step up, really, centre-back position. Skipping on to Ellery Balcom, under-21s now he's been promoted to. They beat Albania 3-1. Balcom didn't get off the bench, which is unfortunate, but he may get off the bench tomorrow night against Netherlands. They're playing tomorrow night, Tuesday, depending on when you listen to this. That could be a real impressive moment for Brentford. As sort of a keeper playing in the under-21s for England is awesome to hear. He's behind Ramsdale at the moment, who's Bournemouth's number one. So we just got to hope he can sort of dislodge him. That'd be quite good to see if he does that. And another one that sort of keeps, one of my favourite players is Reece Coles. You always keep an eye on him. I don't know about his long term Brentford future. It's not looking amazing there, but out on loan at Partick Thistle, they're in the Scottish Championship and they were in the Scottish Challenge Cup v Stenhouse Muir, and there was a tonking win. They beat them 4-1. Reece Cole got a goal and 2 assists, and he plays in that side with Kenny Miller, who is a Rangers and Celtic legend. Not many players have played for both Rangers and Celtic. Kenny Miller has, and Reece Cole sort of learning and seeing him. Kenny Miller's 39 years old and still doing the business.
I don't know how he's still playing.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
I just remember him back when he was sort of in his early 20s. He scored that amazing goal. I think it was for Wolves against Man United.
Oh my gosh,
And I was just thinking, that's actually him. It's not his son or anything. But his name is Kenny Jr.
Because when you watch it in black and white from 1983, and he is still playing in the Scottish Championship. Who else, XG?
And there's so many, I can't get them all. But lastly, it's another one I'm going to just quickly touch on. Canice Carroll. So he's quite an interesting player. We bought him from Oxford earlier last year, and we weren't sure where he was going to play. So he's really, really versatile. I looked at him as thought he was a centre back, can play right back. He's been playing defensive midfield for Carlisle on loan. Just can play anywhere. And unfortunately, Carlisle manager Steve Presley's just been let go. So where he plays after this is going to be sort of up in arms. But he's another one that is doing really well out on loan. And one to keep an eye on. And who knows what his future might be at the club.
Indeed.
And let's talk about a certain player who seems to be making headlines on loan at AFC Wimbledon. It's a big talking point for AFC Wimbledon. It's a big talking point for Brentford. They want him back. AFC Wimbledon do not want to let him go. And player of the month, Robin.
Yeah, Marcus Forss has been named, officially named, the EFL Young Player of the Month for October. So that's not just across League One, that's across the whole EFL, which is absolutely fantastic. I don't like this because whenever something like this happens, it always causes something to go wrong. Historically, whenever a Brentford player has won Player of the Month or the manager's won Manager of the Month, it's led to a drop in form or an injury or something along those lines. Touch wood, fingers crossed, and all things willing, Forss remains on course to... I was going to try and go for a triple pun, but no.
Well, went wrong. You said he won Player of the Month, then you couldn't get the pun in.
Exactly. Yeah. So, thankfully, we've got that out of the way. That's the mistake. That's the thing it's caused. But no, Forss, well deserved from the sounds of it. It doesn't just seem to be his goal scoring exploits. It's his general attitude and work rate that's really impressing the AFC Wimbledon fans. So yeah, absolutely delighted for him. Couldn't be happier.
Well, this is the thing, and you mentioned it there. It's not just Player of the Month for Wimbledon or in that league. This is the EFL Player of the Month. This is let's be honest. This is a good achievement. This is a prestigious award. You know, you see him lighting it up, Robin. Do you think, I know we're in good form, but does he have a recall clause? I'm not sure of this.
We're not entirely sure.
We're not entirely sure,
okay,
but I thought
I was out of the loop.
I think there is something. They can get him back if they want to. I think that's what it's sounding like, yeah.
Do you want him back?
Well, at the moment, if Watkins gets injured, we're a bit stuffed. We've got Mbeumo that can potentially play up front. But yeah, I think it'll be a case of, depending on Watkins and injuries, he'll stay at AFC Wimbledon.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned about you've got players under 19s, under 21s. You've got players doing it that are, in lower leagues. You know, the next crop, the next prospects coming through, Dave, this is a very promising time. Going into the new stadium next year, this bodes well, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we're one of the smartest clubs around. So we've been really doing really well with this B team.
You're biased.
No. Sorry. Unbiased opinions only here. Yeah, no biases involved here. But yeah, we're playing the long game, basically. We looked at that sort of B team group between sort of 16 and 19 and thought, let's just establish that. Players that are dropping out of the game or sort of coming through, let's develop them and let's get them ready. So you've got all these other clubs who are sort of selling their stadiums and can't buy any players, whereas we're just sort of building a base and growing and growing. So yeah, great stuff coming forward from us, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, foundations to be built on. Looking good for Brentford's future. Talking of the future, Thomas Frank, what is he doing? His plans there? We know he made an appearance on the Besotted podcast. That was brilliant. That was two parts there. And we're going to be hearing a little bit more what he had to say next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast, Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson, where we were just talking about the players going on international duty, how well they're doing and how many call-ups Brentford actually have. And it's brilliant to see some of them are in action tonight. We'll keep you across that. But now, though, I heard you had a very interesting guest, Robin, on the pod, Tommy the Bee.
Yeah, so for those of you who won't have listened to it or won't have heard, the Besotted crew gathered in the Red Lion pub in Barnes, fantastic hosts as always, and we had a new guest on. It was a chap called Tommy the Bee. He seemed to know a couple of things about it. What we didn't realise, I'm joking, we all realised, Thomas Frank was kind enough, and the club were kind enough to make an appearance on the Besotted podcast. If you haven't checked it out, I'd highly advise listening to it, both parts one and two. We'll be covering part two today, but it was an absolutely fascinating listen, direct insights from someone who is just so integral to not just the way the club is run and the club is the foundations that the club is built on, but the way in which it affects the players, the fans. It was absolutely fascinating, and his answers, the stuff that he talks about, was absolutely fascinating, and we're going to get back onto it today.
Yeah, let's talk about the first one, and the first clip we're going to play you is Thomas Frank talking about the trust in the team.
I think one of the big things, I think, in football and life, of course, especially in football, is, it's all about trust. And if you don't trust each other, you can't work together. So I knew that me coming in from Denmark, another country, coming into to a club as a coach from the outside that's been a head coach before, I knew I need to work extremely hard to earn that trust. And you can only do that by building a good relationship. And I can't praise Dean and Richard enough for being so welcoming to me. And I lived in their house the first week I went here, and they just did everything they could to make me feel welcome. I think we all have different skill set, players and all, or coaches, and hopefully we are slightly different to get the best out of each other. And I think the way I'm thinking, maybe I was slightly more structured or slightly more very, you know, everything I'm thinking about when I'm trying to make a training drill is that it needs to be linked to the style of play. So those two bits was maybe the bit where I standed, where I stood out or where I did things differently. Because Dean and Richard still had top training drills and still top, but I was just so... That's maybe the way I've been brought up or my way of thinking.
Yeah, of course, that special guest, Tommy the Bee, being Thomas Frank, the manager. Brilliant that you got him on the podcast and in two parts. He was just mentioning there, and we mentioned the buzzwords he uses, together, I've got trust,
strong
yeah. Strategy. You know, there are a few words that he always mentions. He talks about structure there, Robin. I want to ask you, has he provided more structure then to this first team?
Absolutely. I think structures are quite a sort of... It's difficult to define structure because different people work in different ways. It's quite subjective as to how people like to be organised and things like that. What I will say is that I think it's a lot clearer the way he wants his team to play compared to previous managers. I think sometimes with previous managers, they sort of their style was a bit inconsistent. The team was a little bit inconsistent. I think this year he's very, very, very set on the way in which he wants us to play. I think he's far more meticulous, I think, than Dean Smith was. He's far more sort of... specific in how he wants certain things done. But yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are, Dave, but I think he certainly provided a bit more structure.
Yeah, no, you're definitely onto something. So if we just go back a couple of managers, we look at Warburton was all about chaos. The game was frantic. It was about attacking, just basically wild play, really, just ultra attacking. Smith was a slightly drawn back version of that, also very, very attacking still, very attacking. Not so much interest in the defensive side of the game. And then if we go to Frank is like the complete opposite. He's much more about games being controlled from start to finish, whereas you're not giving up like sort of huge chances. You're not, everyone's not being pushed forward unnecessarily. Mm. You're actually looking more about sort of controlling the spaces. And that's what you really, I think that's what you kind of think about structure. You generally think of defensive structures, defensive solidity, and it's how quickly or how little can you be pulled out of your defensive shape and defensive structure. And Thomas, this side we've seen this year is... It's so miles ahead of anything we've ever done defensively. It's actually really impressive to see. It's in the numbers. You can just see it when you're watching. Everything indicates that the structure he's built is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and we mentioned the buzzwords, one of them being trust. Robin, how important do we feel that trust is in Thomas Frank's setup?
Well, I think it should really be intrinsically part of it, part of any foundation. Any successful foundation, people need to trust each other. You need to have the backing of your peers, of the fans, of the people that can essentially hire or fire you. And I certainly do think he has that, but that he has that trust, not just in... he doesn't just have the trust from the powers that be, just from the players, but I think he also trusts the strategy, he also trusts the system. We'll get onto that sort of a little bit more later on. But he certainly, to me, does seem to have this sort of... He's really bought into what Brentford Football Club is all about. He's been here, but he's been with us for over 3 years now. Half of that time he's been the head coach. And he's really got behind it. He may not necessarily agree with everything that goes on in terms of strategy, but he trusts what the system tells us, what the numbers tell you. And yeah, I think trust is absolutely essential. But then again, trust is essential to anything that you do, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, sitting here at a radio station. You have to be fully bought into what the overall message is and what the overall vision is of the club.
Well, this is what Brentford will give you. You may think football is life advice. Love guru Robin Hood McMichael. There's relationship. I could learn a lot from this show.
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. there we go. Well, look, you mentioned that he's been with the club, you know, obviously over 3 years, half of that time as head coach. Dave, could he be doing more though? If Brentford did have a different strategy in place,
maybe. I think any manager, any head coach could. I think there was a period where I was sort of worried whether he was getting enough out of this team, and I think they were sort of transitioning into what we're seeing now. And yeah, there was a little bit up and down, but I guess any coach, if you gave them better tools, they'd probably do a better job. But it's whether they're doing the best job with what they've been given, and I think we're kind of starting to see that he is now. I think there was a period where we weren't sure, and it was basically when Jensen was in the side. It was all about dropping Jensen, really. If I'm just going to get to long and short of it, he wasn't good enough to start, and he isn't at the level to start games consistently yet. But he'll get there, and as the season develops. But yeah, Yeah, to answer your question, I say yes, I guess.
I mean, I must confess, there were times where I didn't trust what Frank was doing with the side. And I'm happy
has
to
he won you, won you over
not
now?
Not entirely yet, no. Okay. It's still some way to go with that. I think you should never be entirely comfortable and satisfied with a manager in the same way that with a player. You should always expect more, should always want more. I think he's certainly, he made the switch a little bit too late for me from the three at the back to the 4-3-3. It's shown to benefit the side, the players more. But I think there's still I completely trust Frank's as a person. I think he's very, very honest. I think he's very I like his meticulous style. I think he's got a very, very unique, slightly quirky personality that certainly appeals to the more bonkers football fan, shall we say. I think what we need is a really good, consistent run of results across long term, rather than sort of these purple patches and then negative patches that Brentford Football Club seem to go on. Once he's done that, I think consistently over a season, which is why, again, I'm saying I'm not quite 100% Thomas Frank yet, is until then, I'm not 100% buying. But he's winning me over bit by bit in terms of his selection process, his decision-making, and also the results. It's a results business, and he's certainly doing well there.
Dave, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I think I would. I think in the long term, I mean, we're seeing big improvement. That's what I was sort of touching on at the beginning of the season. The formation wasn't right, but I think in the podcast, he did mention that he was kind of protecting the side and didn't want to change too much, and like sort of the three at the back, it gives you extra solidity. So I think that there were reasons, there were obviously things that were behind the slow uptake. I think we just probably expect things to happen a bit quicker, or sort of, why are you not doing this now? Instead of, they're probably a bit more stick to their guns a little bit and see something through, or they were masking something in the side. So overall, I probably do agree with Robin. I'm much more team Frank, though. I was sold by him a long time ago. I think he's, yeah, easily the best one, best sort of coach we've had over the last few years.
As an individual, I like him. Yeah, that's no question. As a person, I really like his style. Mm.
Yeah, no, it's fair to say. Well, another thing that Thomas Frank had to say was talking about the squad and the B team, the future of those young players that we've mentioned, and here's what he had to say.
I'm thinking about the future. We've already talked about Ellery Borkham, B-team players coming through. Joe Hardy, he seems to score a lot of goals, but he doesn't seem to kind of get near to the first team. Again, we all know, you know and I know, that he's obviously got some sort of skill. Is this something that he needs to still be working on to try and get a little bit closer?
I think that he's one of those players that need to find another club and maybe hopefully get a breakthrough there. He's a really interesting player, but for whatever reason, sometimes it doesn't fall out in the way all of us dreamt of. And now is the situation where I need to try something else. But Jansen Borg is a fantastic player, which I have a big belief in. Will hopefully get a big future here at Brentford. And Jack Oksanen, he done really well. He's just steadied a little bit. But with young players, we know it's not like that. Just going up is like, you know, a little bit forward, then a little bit down, then a little bit up, and then hopefully over time it can go more and more.
Thomas Frank talking about the younger players then, Robin, like a dagger to the heart hearing him talk in that clip. Why was that for you?
It's just, so Joe Hardy is a player, the Brentford B team signed him from Manchester City in March 2017, and he's been a player that in the B team has been banging the goals in. He's drawn the sort of the love and the adoration of quite a lot of the Brentford faithful, who sort of attend the B team games and go to the B team games. And then yeah, it was a slightly unexpected news to find that sort of just point blank that he needs to find another club is what he's been told. The numbers dictate that he should be reserve striker to Ollie Watkins with the number of goals he's scoring. Dave mentioned in the pre-match office/pub preparation zone that it wasn't long ago that he was rubbing shoulders with the likes of Jadon Sancho and Phil Foden in the it was Phil Foden,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Phil Foden and Sancho, yeah.
And then suddenly he's not good enough to get into our first team, whereas those other players have gone into bigger things. It's quite interesting as to why that is. Maybe it's the style. Maybe it's maybe it's him as a person. I really, really don't know. But I'm quite perplexed by that decision. Really am.
Are you worried then? And Dave, I'll ask you, that Brentford will live to regret this move, this decision. You know, one of those ones further down the line could come back to haunt them. You know, you think players aren't going to make the grade. They go on and they drop down, but then they bounce back up and they go, "Oh, we had him 4 or 5 years ago."
Well. If I'm honest, no, I don't think so. But it can happen. I mean, he could go. That's what he needs. That's what Frank sort of said. It sounded like he needs to go somewhere else, refind himself, get back to basics, and
fresh start.
Yeah, definitely a fresh start. But it was just fascinating listening to Frank. So if you think about sort of body language and what he did, so when you mentioned Joe Hardy's name, he sort of was defeated and like sort of it was very much like, oh gosh, Joe Hardy. And then when he spoke about Zambarek, he just took in a breath and was just like so bold and powerful, and it's. You, for those two reactions, really, we can see it's they're tired of Hardy. They've obviously been telling him stuff. They're trying to push him on. There's something that he's just not getting over the last year that's not pushing him into the, sort of the senior level. And why has he not made a debut for the first team? I mean, he's been there long enough. Our other players are past him now. Young Morgenson, Day, and I think he's 17. He just looks like an absolute specimen already. And Zambrek's playing in the first team out wide, and like he's sort of playing games. He's contributing to the squad. He's younger than him, 3 years younger. So you have to ask your questions. Why was Frank so excited when he said Zambrek's name? Is Zambrek giving him the ticks that what they need to see? Because they're the ones that are experts. They know exactly what they need.
Well, I suppose they see him in training and they see him on the pitch. The only real way I can advocate for Joe Hardy is that he got quite a few goals for me on FIFA once a couple of years ago.
Not quite the same.
New contract. I'll trust their judgment over mine.
But you mentioned Thomas, how pleased he seemed to be talking about Zambrek. What is the ceiling with him? What is the potential there, Dave?
Zambarek's a weird one. I may have pigeonholed him myself, so I look at him. Yeah, I thought of him as a sort of a centre midfielder. That's where he's going to break him for. Maybe like he can play in a 10, number 8 position. He can do quite a lot of things. I think what we're seeing with him is Frank. I don't know if Frank thinks of him as a winger. I don't know an actual winger in that sense, but someone who can play out wide and sort of retain the ball and sort of help you get the ball out the pitch. But he's a versatile player, can do anything. And at 18, you look at these kids now, I don't know what they're feeding them, but he just doesn't look like an 18-year-old. He looks much stronger, much taller. He's filling out. He's still got growing to do. So
he looks really hungry is what I noticed immediately. He really wants the ball every single time.
He does. So as a position, I don't know what his ceiling is. I mean, to me, I think you want to play him central. I think he's good enough to control games and sort of keep passes ticking over, and he can get a goal as well. At the moment, I think he's doing a job out wide because he's probably done that previously, and he can hold the ball and sort of give us a little bit of presence up front as well. So who knows what his ceiling is? I mean, he could have a big future. You could hear the way Frank talks about him. He's not messing around.
Well, you mentioned Zambarek, and obviously, you know, does he have enough potential there? And talking about midfield and, you know, the competition, obviously, there is a lot of competition in midfield. And Thomas mentioned someone else, didn't he, there, Dave?
Yes, I might have just missed that bit.
Yes, Jaakko Oksanen.
He's
a young Finnish player who's looks quite good when he's come on. But then sort of he's quite high on him as well. And in a sort of in a midfield where we've got so much competition for places, and we've got some really really strong midfielders in there, they've sort of developed. They're developing really really quickly. The likes of Josh De Silva and Christian Norgaard, Cameron Mococho, Drew Yearwood's in and around that mix as well. We've got quite a dense set of midfielders. So it's whether or not he can get a run out.
Well, never a bad thing having too many midfielders, having too much competition. You need squad depth, especially in the Championship. Well, we were hearing from Thomas Frank there, and there is still so much to hear. We're going to be talking about two more clips and things he had to say next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast. Well, we were just talking about the players that Brentford have on international duty, hearing audio from Thomas Frank. And still to come, we will be talking to James Tippett, who from the expected goals philosophy, a game-changing way of analysing football. Very excited to have that chat. I mean, and with Dave in the studio, stats man himself. I mean,
yeah,
the studio is going to be stats.
I don't know if the cameras will show this, but we've had to restrain next to you, Dave, a little bit, just so he doesn't get a bit too excited.
I know, and I thought that was just because of the sight of seeing me, but it was just James Tippett coming on later. Well, we're continuing to hear from Thomas Frank because they did have him on the podcast. Let's hear about the Sawyer's effect now, and it will become clear when you hear this.
I miss him so much. I think he's a top footballer and a top personality, and I think he was a fantastic player and person for Brentford Football Club, but I think that he the time was come. He got an offer from his boyhood club, West Brom. So sometimes things like that happened, and he got that opportunity, and that's what we are all about. We give people those opportunities. But I also was, that moment in time, I was pretty. I knew that, as everybody could see, the first 10 games, it will not just be. Okay, Matthijs Jensen, Christian Ødegaard, or Justin Silva, they just take over after Romain. But I knew after hopefully 10, 12, 14 games, they will take over and hopefully be good players. And over time, you never know if they're actually going to be even better than Romain. But I think this moment in time, there's no doubt that Romain is one of the best midfielders in the league. I also think those fans who, you know, love Romain and thought it was a disaster, said goodbye to him. I wasn't here in his first season, but I've been told, and probably the four of you also remember his first half season, maybe full season. There was, as far as I know, he was not particularly praised every single game. And I think he only got better and better the last 2 years. So if you take that curve, and I think the two players, I think they have they are. Jensen is the one who is the most the closest to the type of Romain. I think he has top potential. There is a reason why Celta Vigo bought him and Ajax they wanted him as well. So we are watching a player that's been not playing for a year, that's been, you know, captain his under 21 side 2 years in a row for a European Championship. I think he'd be a brilliant player for us.
Well, as soon as that clip started, Robin said, oh, he gushes here, you know, nothing but praise. And you was absolutely right. Very fond of him. Where would you say he ranks amongst the other midfielders in the league for you, Robin?
I haven't seen a better midfielder than Romain Sawyers.
Wow.
In the past couple of years at Brentford, playing against Brentford, I can't remember a player who can run a game like him. Maybe not since Ryan Woods for Brentford, but yeah, Sawyers is in a class of his own. He really is. I'll confess to being one of those players when in that first season, I wasn't convinced by him. He looked a little bit lightweight. He looked a little bit like he was scared to put a challenge in. His general attitude to tracking back wasn't very, very good. He just showed the benefit of having that time to develop and become a better player. And by the time he was our club captain, and by the time he left to move to his boyhood club of West Brom, and all the best to him. I couldn't wish him any more success. Maybe not against us when he plays against us. But hell of a player. Absolutely brilliant player.
Well, fans were quick to criticise, and a lot of criticism when he started, Dave. Robin said he was one, he wasn't sure, and then he was absolutely sold on him. Was it the same for you?
No, I'm a little bit more patient with him. I really like Sawyers. You could see it early on. I was just a keen student of the game. You could see what he was trying to do, like sort of get in between the lines to keep the ball rotating. I think his progression has sort of gone as he's dropped deeper and deeper. So when he first came, you thought of him sort of like a number 10. Then it sort of moved back a little bit as the second person in the midfield. And then last season, he was pretty much one of our deepest players at times, like almost like a six.
Because he was playing false nine and out wide for us at times.
And as he sort of developed, and you always thought that Dean Smith and him had a really good relationship. But it's actually Thomas Frank that probably got the best out of Sawyers that we've ever seen and took him on to another level completely. But yeah, when you're speaking about the best midfielder in the league, I think he is now. I think people are starting to realise that because he played for Brentford before, it was like, okay, he played for Brentford, but now he's at West Brom, people are actually starting to take notice, and the world is kind of watching that because they're probably really highly likely to get promoted. Sawyers is going to be the one who's playing a lot of football, but there's games where he's just dominated Leeds not too long ago and just sort of making like more passes than anyone else on the pitch. He's just an exquisite, exquisite footballer. But yeah, there's so much he does well, and yeah, we miss him loads.
But it's almost taken him going to a bigger club like West Brom for people to notice that, which is really, really
that is really frustrating. Yeah, you know, he gets more coverage there. But what do Brentford miss most about him then? Because you mentioned dominating that game against Leeds, the passes. Is his technical prowess or his leadership skills, Robin?
I think his leadership's been replaced. It's his technical prowess that we're really missing on the pitch at the moment. I think the squad is really, really tight. We've got leaders in it like Denmark's... Henrik Dalsgaard, who just had a bit of a mind blank there, who's sort of a bit of a locker room leader at the moment. Pontus Janssen's come in, massively experienced. Cameron Mococho is still there. I'd say we've got players that have grown and become leaders quite organically, and we've got quite a clear club captain in Pontus now. It's his technical ability to just find passes that other players wouldn't even dream of attempting, and he makes them look easy, and that's what we really miss.
Yeah, it's the short play, isn't it? So the intricate play that we're used to, what makes us look Brentford, has kind of been gone with Morpi and sort of Sawyers leaving. And we're kind of getting there, but it was just these sort of short 10-yard passes, 5-yard passes, and then it could go long sort of in between a right-back and a centre-back. There was some of the stuff they were doing was just magnificent to watch. And we are missing that a little bit. We're not as precise in the final third as we used to be. We're still getting the ball into that area, but nowhere near the quality that we probably were last year.
Yeah, so Malpay, 28 goals last season, sold him for 20 million. Sawyers is twice as big a miss as Malpay's.
Wow, that's huge. Well, obviously, theme of the show as well, we talk a lot about Josh De Silva. Are Brentford's fans' expectations, are they realistic, Robin?
Mine were very, very high at the start of the season with Jensen. coming in, and it was that sort of, oh, he's come from Celta Vigo, Josh De Silva, oh, is he going to develop because he's come from the Arsenal youth setup? They're slowly developing into better players, and I'm desperately learning and trying to become more patient with these players moving forward in terms of their development. Josh De Silva is reaping the rewards of having a slightly more elongated development into the first team. Some of the goals he scored, 4 goals this season, all of them out of the box. I don't know if you saw the one against Wigan. I don't understand how he managed to get it so accurate.
Like a radar,
it was literally it was a homing missile of a shot. It was unbelievable. I think Brentford fans, myself included, need to have a little bit more of a proactive long-term expectation of these players.
A proactive long-term. Well, something now we're going to hear from Thomas Frank. He talks about expected goals. And knowing someone Arrow do in the studio, they may know one or two things about this as well.
There's a lot of these so-called expected goals out there against and for. And there's a lot of websites and now apps and so... We don't know exactly how all those providers, they actually calculate those expected goals. The reason why Matthew Benham earned all his money was because of the clear model and a clear, you know, way of seeing things in terms of stats. And all the money is earned through betting on different, you know, games is through this model. So it's a well-run model and it's 100% different. It's not like we see a game and expected XG was 1.5 towards 0.8. It's not like that massive difference, but there is a difference. It is much more reliable, the one we are using. But that's only one side of the way we adjust our performances. Because for me, performances is we can use the stats to what we want, but it's quite nice to see if you have 25 shots and the opponent have 2 shots. If you just play that game again, there's a much bigger chance that we win. And now they go more in depth to see, did they take all the shots outside the 18-yard box or did they take all of them inside the box? Okay, then again, you have a bigger chance to win. So I think for me, we use it as performance indicators to actually see and look at our performance calm, because also we also like the fans. We also get emotions. We also get frustrated. We also want to win. So it's nice actually to use a tool to perform every game, but also on the longer run, because I think that's important.
Well, that was Thomas Frank talking about expected goals, but we're going to save our questions because I'm delighted to say James Tippett will be joining us next, all about analysing football and expected goals and how that is changing football. And we're delighted to say he'll be joining us and we can have a discussion with him next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
We are having far too much fun in the studio. It's because maybe we're just a little bit... There's a little bit of madness crept in. There was no football. We don't consider it real football, the international break. But the football returns this weekend. Brentford take on Reading. And you are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Besotted Podcast, Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson. Talking of XG and expected goals, delighted to say now, James Tippett joins us. James, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you're a Brentford fan, but I wanted to quickly talk about your book, The Expected Goals Philosophy, a game-changing way of analysing football. James, when was it that you first had this idea for a book, and how did you get into talking about expected goals and XG and all of the stats that come with it?
Yeah, no, firstly, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here. I first kind of got into XG on my gap here when I was working for Smart Odds, who obviously Matthew Benham's company. Just kind of came across XG by collecting it for them, and then went to uni, got into the school football team, and kind of started trying to explain XG to my teammates, obviously people who kind of never really heard about it. And I'm sure you all know, trying to explain XG to a completely layman is quite a tough thing to do, and obviously there's lots of great online resources and stuff, but I just thought there was definitely room in the market for a codified book where people could go and just buy that and have a full expected goals kind of, manual almost.
Awesome. James, it's Robin here. Thanks very much for joining us. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Genuinely really, really interested and excited to talk about this because I've done a bit... Basically, all I really know of XG is what XG Dave has told me. So I'm really, really dead chuffed that there's a book coming out by a Brentford fan that I can actually read and sink my teeth into. It sounds really, really good. Just first things first, before we sort of talk about XG... Obviously, you've written this book about it. Now, as someone who really sort of buys into the expected goals model and the use of data, yourself and Dave are far more wedded to it than I am. Do you come under a fair bit of sort of, I don't want to say criticism, but sort of resistance against the whole sort of statistics in football?
A fair bit. Normally, the people you engage with are people who are interested in it and who are asking you questions about it and who actually want to talk to you about it. I have had people comment on Twitter the last few days, like, oh, first VAR, now XG, like, the game's gone and stuff like that. But I feel like people like that, like, a few and far between, I think. I don't know about your experiences, Dave.
Pretty similar as well, I guess. Some people just can't stand it, the idea of it. They just absolutely hate it. Sorry?
How dare they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know who they think they are. But no, everyone's entitled to their opinions. Some people see it as sort of ruining the game and not pure and not interesting. I couldn't disagree more. But James, I was just going to say, so this is your second book. You wrote The Football Code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does this one differ? Like, what's the difference between the two? So, like, you've written The Football Code. That was supposed to be the secrets of football and this code that you were writing. What's different in this one?
So the first one's more about general prediction making in football. So it studies how the media are kind of, how they're flawed. It looks at general statistical principles that we kind of overlook in the beautiful game and talks about gambling more wholly and generally. And then the expected goals method, it does kind of overlap in certain areas in terms of the theme, but it's generally more of a zoomed in, focused piece of work purely on the expected goals method and how you can use it to analyse the sport.
Just a very quick question now about sort of bringing it back to Thomas Frank. So we just heard a bit of talk from the Talking Frank Part 2 podcast that was released last week. So Thomas Frank, sort of the words he used to describe sort of all the statistical help that we get from Smart, that the club gets from Smart Oz and from Matthew Bennett, as he uses the term, I've correctly quoted this, performance indicators that are used to help boost players. So with that in mind, do you think it's a detriment to footballers to the footballers at Brentford, that there is so much of a focus now on statistics and the underlying performance indicators that we talk about?
I don't think it's a detriment. I think that's why I call my book The Expected Goals Philosophy, because I really do believe, like, it is obviously a statistic which you can use to, like, scientifically analyse football, but it's also a general way of thinking. Like, if you watch Brentford, kind of their post-match interviews, like Thomas Frank, whether it be the players or Frank, they all talk about chance creation, they all talk about justice, like whether Brentford actually deserved to win the game or not. Like, every single match you'll hear them saying, oh, we created better opportunities, or oh, we didn't quite create the chances we wanted, and they're not talking specifically about expected goals, but that's the general philosophy, is talking about performance rather than results. And I'm unaware of how they specifically use it in terms of, do they kind of look at Josh De Silva's shots and go, wow, he scored from 0.02 XG, or do they kind of use that for under and over performance? But I think, yeah, the general philosophy of Brentford is definitely all geared around that kind of chance creation. Even in their kind of post-match interviews, as well as in obviously the scouting and stuff, which is quite well documented.
Yeah, brilliant. I agree. Yeah, it's kind of like what they're trying to do is strip the luck away from performance, basically. What is lucky? What's noise, basically? What's signal?
Yeah,
what's nonsense? That's what you can get from all of their communications. So, James, yeah, really good work on this book. I've actually read it. I was being a little facetious earlier. I've read the whole thing. I think it's really good. I think you're finding your voice as a writer. Yeah.
He's angling for a free copy.
Yeah. I think it's really heavily improved on your first bit of work. I think it's actually a really good explainer. And, you do a brilliant, really good job on sort of looking at XG and sort of expected value and a few concepts which are really good. But you've worked inside of Smart Oz. This is what I think is really interesting. You've been sort of inside the beast, so to speak. A lot of public stuff now. We see sort of experimental 361 who you talk about and sort of the stats bomb stuff. This is what I think is quite interesting. How powerful do you think, so you talk about this a bit in the book, how powerful do you think the Smart Oz stuff is compared to some of this public stuff we're seeing? So you briefly touched on it. I don't want you to give away the secrets of the book, but you know where I'm getting at here, don't you? What separates the Smart Oz stuff from just the everyday stuff that we're seeing?
So I've got to be a little bit careful about how much I say, but essentially, I think it's kind of enough into public domain now in terms of there's many different ways you could use expected goals, and that's part and parcel, like, why the book's kind of so long, or not long, but it goes into such depth. What we're beginning to see more and more of is kind of chance-based expected goals rather than shot-based expected goals. So there's a lot of stuff which is wrong with the expected goals method. By no means the perfect tool, and there's a lot of things which are wrong with each different way of using expected goals. But yeah, looking more at chances and dangerous situations rather than purely shot-based expected goals models, I'd say is the kind of key and the power behind Smartos' method.
Cool. I think what I will say is we had Ilias Hatzothiodorides on a couple of years ago on the podcast, and he did mention, use words like percentages and ratios and things like that. So I do think it does filter through. But what I will say is I'm really looking forward to reading it. I think everyone else is really looking forward to getting into it. And if myself and Charlie Hawkins could have a couple of signed copies sent over to Love Sport Radio, that'd be great.
Well, James, that's what I wanted to quickly ask. Not about a signed copy, but where can fans find your book so they can get your book? And also quickly, just to football on the field at the minute, what have you made of Brentford so far this season?
Brentford so far this season, I think we've come along leaps and bounds. I think this could be the season where it finally all clicks into place. I think earlier in the year we were actually really unlucky with the kind of bad form we had, and I think it's almost flipped. It's almost like, I think we have been playing well recent weeks, but if anything, XG's slightly gone our way with obviously the Silver's mad goals from outside the box and a few other kind of long range efforts. Benrahma against Swansea, for instance, and Graham against Swansea. I feel like now we've kind of had luck turn in our favour a little bit in terms of XG. In terms of the book, it's just on Amazon, paperback or Kindles on Amazon. So yeah, just go there and get it.
Oh, we certainly will. James, thank you so much for joining us there. James,
thanks, mate. Yeah,
thanks so much, James. Go buy it.
Certainly, Dave, as he said there, please go and buy it, support James. James Tippett there, author of The Expected Goals Philosophy, a game-changing way of analysing football. Just very quickly, as we near the end of the show, the hour has flown by on the Brentford takeover. Where is it
honestly,
gone?
Where has it gone? It's just a game's dream. Gone, show's gone.
There you go. And none of us have got a yellow card, although Dave, maybe you
no,
might.
No,
VAR.
Dave's got quite a... we'll take it to VAR.
We'll take it to VAR. Just quickly though, Robin, we have to, as is tradition, there's a few plugs that we need to mention.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we've got obviously got Reading on the weekend. We're very much looking forward to that. I think that'll be an absolutely fantastic game, and I believe all the guys at Bizotted will be talking about that in great depth later on this week, so please do check that out. Bizotted podcast, prideofwest.london. You can also check out the Thomas Frank interviews there, part 1 and 2. Review us and like us, our podcast on iTunes, Spotify and all platforms, and please don't forget to follow us on social media at Bizotted on Twitter and Facebook, and also Love Sport as well.
Well, you've done that so efficiently. There is still time. I know you normally wait to Thursday, but it is Reading on the weekend. The Championship is back. What are your thoughts and your prediction ahead of this one? Reading newly appointed Mark Bowen, they're in a good run of form, as are Brentford.
Yeah, well, I said they've won their last two games. Both teams are coming off in an international break. I don't know about how many players they've got out and away, but I know that they've got their striker Puskás, who, when he signed at the during the summer, was a little bit of a sort of, wow, he's come from Inter Milan. That looks like a bit of a panic buy, but he's actually proved really well. I'm going to say 2-1 Brentford. It's a bit of a classic scoreline, but that's what I'm going with.
Ooh. 3 points you're taking. Yeah, Dave, not so sure?
I wish I had that confidence. I think we've got to see how we deal with Norgard being out and Janvier, how we sort of rock the boat and tweak that and get through that, but I'm going to go 2-1 win as well. Yeah, you've convinced me. 2-1 Yeah, 2-1 bees.
2-1-2. Is that the formation or the scoreline?
Well, let's hope it's the scoreline. Let's hope it's 3 points for Brentford on the weekend. As always, this was the Brentford Fan Show, as it is every Monday, 8 to 9. You was with me, Charlie Hawkins, and Robin Hood McMichael, and Dave XG Anderson from the Besotted podcast. And also, we had James Tippett on the show. Please check out his book. Hopefully, a bees win on the weekend. We can come back Monday and have a very, again, another positive show.
Are we invited back?
You're always invited back.
I could do
another hour with you two. The hour goes far too quickly. Now it goes on a decline because I have to wait another week to see you. But we will see you next week, Monday at 8 o'clock on the Brentford Fan Show.
Yubi.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.